This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you all doing? الحمد لله. Thursday night in the month of Ramadan. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us for another day of fasting, another night of Taraweeh, another evening of Ibadah, and another Jumu'ah. And of course, as we said that it is the Sunnah to recite this Surah, Surah Al-Kahf, once a week, Thursday night or Friday. So inshallah, I hope that through this series that you've been inspired to recite the Surah today or this evening or tomorrow. Ameen. Couple of questions before we continue, and perhaps it'll even take up most of our time this evening. Some very big, heavy questions, controversial questions. As I said, people listen to the lectures and the SMS, the WhatsApp question, and we answer some of them. The first question, both of them are controversial. The first one, a little easier, is with regards to Salatul Tasbih. Salatul Tasbih. For those who don't know what it is, it's a salah where you'd find that it's four raka'ahs and you recite La ilaha, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah wa akbar 75 times in each raka'ah, and it should come to about 300 times. Now, what is this? Where does this salah come from? Where does Salatul Tasbih come from? You find a hadith in Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah, where the Prophet, peace be upon him, Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi, where the Prophet ﷺ is said to have mentioned this to his uncle Al-Abbas, about the great rewards, and it forgives your sins, and you should do it at least once in your lifetime, but you should try to do it all the time. Now, the scholars of hadith are very, very much in, you know, there's a consensus amongst them that these narrations are not authentic, they are weak. They are weak. They are not really something which the scholars, the four madahib, the imams, encouraged. And therefore, if you ask with regard to Salatul Tasbih, nothing wrong, of course, to make salah. And to say subhanallah in your sujood, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Nothing wrong with that, alhamdulillah, it's wonderful. But there are things which are clear-cut and more beneficial. So people ask, how should we spend the nights in Ramadan? The things that we should do is salah. That's the best we can do, salah and reciting Quran. If you can't recite Quran from memory, then take the Quran and stand and recite it with your hand. Or recite the surahs that you do know. And in your sajida, in your sunnah salahs, make dua to Allah in your own language. So people enjoy Salatul Tasbih because it's something that they can do easily. We all know to say subhanallah, alhamdulillah. And therefore, they do this kind of salah because they find it easier. Of course, as I said, there are better things to do, but there are also worse things to do. So, for those who sort of oppose Salatul Tasbih, remember, if you have a choice between sitting at home and doing nothing, watching TV, then of course Salatul Tasbih is better. At least you have a weak hadith that you are basing your actions on. But there are better things to be done, and the best that you could do, we said, if someone asks, what's the best I can do in the evenings of Ramadan? It is to make Qiyamul Layl, to stand up in Salah, recite what you can of the Quran, recite it from with the Quran in front of you, and in your sajida, make your tasbih, make your dua. This is the best thing we could do. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next question, very, very controversial. Sister asked this question. We look at the story of the people of the cave, and they ran away from fitna, hid in the cave. How do we relate this to the problems that we see today in Syria, Palestine, Burma, Kashmir, subhanallah? What can we say about this? Should we just all sit on our hands in the cave and make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take away our problems? Should we all get up and rise and become violent and fight in jihad? What do we do? How do we solve this? Obviously, there's no answer that we can give in 5 minutes. These are the big questions that the whole ummah is struggling with. But some advices that we can take. Number one, understand also that this is the prediction of the Prophet ﷺ close to the end of times. We said that, and this is why the surah is very important to us, because we, you know, I'm not fatalistic, but you have to look at the signs. The Prophet says, close to Qiyamah, close to the coming of Dajjal, the ummah, what will the ummah be like? That the world will take from the lands of the Muslims like birds eating from a bowl. Birds, you know, animals eat from one bowl, and they will just take what they want. No one stops them. So the Sahaba said, is it because we will be few in number? Will we be few Muslims? The Prophet said, no, you'll be many. You'll be many. Millions, billions of Muslims. But there's no honor and strength in this ummah. Why? Because we have focused on the dunya, and we've lost sight of the akhirah. So what do we do? Now people ask, what should the Palestinians do? Should they march? Shouldn't they march? What should the Syrians do? Should they fight? Shouldn't they fight? What are the Saudis doing? What are the Iranians doing? all of those people will answer for their own actions. We need to ask, what are we doing? You know, what am I doing in my own personal capacity with regards to these problems? Remember that, subhanAllah, those people going through a hardship, their answer to Allah will be very easy. You know, they struggled and they had to be patient. For us, we're going to be asked, what did we do with our blessings? Our blessings will be the things that we'll be asked about. What did we do with the wealth that we had? The opportunities to be educated. The freedom that we had, that Muslims throughout the world don't have. We have that freedom. We have the easy access to knowledge, easy access to practice our deen. Other countries, Muslims can't practice their deen. You know, subhanAllah, if people through oppression, they practice their deen better than us who have the freedom to practice our deen, then it's a big problem. So these are the things that we should be more scared about. And some scholars have even said that the people going through oppression, they're going through hardships in the dunya, but they'll have it easy in the akhirah. Whereas those of us who have it easy in the dunya, we will have to answer in qiyamah about the ease. So what do we do? We do what is in our power to do. We know the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, whoever sees a wrong, then change it with his hand. Change something that you can do in your power, change it with your hand. And if you can't do that, then change it verbally. Speak out against it. And if you can't do that, at the very least, your heart must hate it and you should be making dua. So if we're not all making dua for the ummah, then there's a problem with our iman. That's the lowest form of iman. And if we, subhanAllah, if we can just put as an objective, one night this Ramadan, we'll wake up and spend, you know, half an hour, two raka'ahs, to make dua for the ummah. Not for me, for you, for my family. Just for the ummah, ya Allah, help the Muslims, the ummah, going through hardship. Help all the oppressed people of the dunya. If we don't have that level of sadness in our heart, then there's a problem. Also understand that you look at the hadith, what, you know, one sahabi asked, what is the best we could do? So the Prophet said, the best you can do is you go out, you see a problem, you fix it yourself. You find a problem, and we don't talk about the ummah, we talk about the masjid on your corner. SubhanAllah, I just heard that because, alhamdulillah for the rain, but because of the rain, our roof had an accident. It takes us about 30,000 rand to fix. You know, alhamdulillah, anyone who's willing to contribute, takes about 100 people all contribute. It's a lot of money, 300 rand each, and we'll fix the roof, inshallah. So whoever would like to contribute, can contribute. But you see a problem in the ummah, you donate yourself, you donate your money. That's the best thing. The Prophet says, you go out yourself, and you fix the problem. There's crime in your area, there's poverty in your area, there are orphans in your area. You say, I'll make this my problem, and I'll fix it. If you can't do that, then support those who are doing the work. Support your Sanzaf, support your Masjid, support your MJC, support those who are doing the work, then assist them with your time, with your money. And if you can't even do that, then don't be part of the problem. And that will be your charity. You don't make the issue worse. And think about this, for our youngsters in school, your jihad, your struggle, is to sit and study and you work and do the best you can in your school. And you must always remember, if you cheat in your exams, or you bunk, or you drop that opportunity, you've not only betrayed yourself, you betrayed the ummah. That if we, as our business people, we cheat in our business dealings, we're not only cheating ourselves, or akhirah, we've cheated the ummah. Everyone, you can change the world through your law degree, through your medical practice, through your engineering. You don't have to be an imam, a maulana, a mujahid to fight the struggle. Everyone in our own personal capacity, we can do something. So, but it should be part of our life to do some community work. Be part of something, the neighborhood watch, the school PTA, the masjid committee, the MJC, Sansa, whatever it might be part of something. At least that will be your excuse, my excuse on the day of Qiyamah when Allah asks, what did you do for the ummah? Ya Allah, this is what I did for the ummah. It's not much, but this is what I did. And who knows, subhanAllah, if all of us are making dua, and all of us are doing a little bit, and giving a little bit, wallahi, we will see the changes on the ground, and slowly the big picture will fix itself. Slowly but surely, the big picture will fix itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Ameen. We continue with tonight's lecture. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَاتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ كِتَابِ رَبِّكَ. Recite what Allah is revealing to you from His book. Recite what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the book. لَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِهِ. You will never ever find that there will be any changes to the book of Allah. وَلَنْ تَجْرَ مِنْ دُونِهِ. And you will not find anyone besides Allah multahada as a refuge, someone that you can seek for protection. Again, Allah is reiterating, the Quran is your compass, this is the place of refuge. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wasbir nafsaka ma'a alladhina yad'una rabbahum bil ghadati wal ashiyyi yuriduna wajha. And O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keep yourself patiently with those who call on their Lord, meaning they make dua, they pray to Allah in the mornings and the evening, seeking His face, seeking Allah's face. This means seeking Allah's pleasure. and let not your eyes overlook them, desiring the pomp and glitter of the life of the world, of this world. ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا. And obey not him whose heart we have made heedless of our remembrance, and one who follows his own lusts and whose affairs have become lost. What's Allah talking about here? Allah says to the Prophet ﷺ, Prophet is giving da'wah. And at some point the Prophet, peace be upon him, naturally, and this is the normal human instinct, if I can get the chief and the king and the president to embrace Islam, if I can get the billionaire and the millionaires to embrace Islam, this will be a huge benefit. And then we forget about the person living, you know, on the street. Is his iman any less than the president's iman? Is the person who is begging on the road any less of his iman less than the one who is a billionaire? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't waste your energy on people, no matter how powerful they are, that you waste your energy on them, giving them, calling to the da'wah, and you maybe overlook the Bilals and the Ammars and the weak among the society who are sincere. Rather put your energy on those who are sincere and they're weak, and they are weak on the outside, but the iman is very, very strong. And subhanAllah, we're all guilty about this, that we would prefer, you know, we're sort of selective in who we believe is strong for the deen, or where we want to focus on the deen. We do good no matter who it goes to, and how, you know, to which person, which organization, we do good. Also, Allah is telling the Prophet, peace be upon him, and this was a message to Nabi Musa as well, when Nabi Musa became a Nabi, look very carefully to the company you keep. Even the Anbiya, Allah warns them that they are on guidance, Allah speaks to them, but the company they keep can even cause the Anbiya to slip. Be very careful with the company you keep. Be very careful with who your friends are. One scholar said, think about the people in your life, your family, your friends, your close, your colleagues. Those will be the people that stand on your janazah. They will come to your janazah, right? And you ask yourself, are those people of quality? Where are the people of fasting and charity and iman, the pious people? You want them to stand at your janazah salah the day you die. So you have to interact with them here on the dunya. You know, you have to spend time with them here so that they will be with you on the day you die. So think about your janazah. What kind of person you want that stands behind you? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, and we again link this to the Ashabul Kahf, one of the big, big challenges in our life are the people that we keep around us. Those people will be either our companions in the Jannah, or they will be our companions, subhanAllah, will be with them in Jahannam. May Allah protect us. So this is something that we constantly have to work on. Because of time, inshallah, we will cut and we'll continue tomorrow. This, of course, we didn't even get to our question, our quiz question. Our quiz question will still come, inshallah. So I will ask, inshallah, a question out of my own, right? I'll ask a question out of my own. The Ashabul Kahf, right? How many? Okay, so let's first answer the last question. How long do they stay in the cave? There's two answers here. The Ashabul Kahf stayed 300 years in the cave, solar years, and 309 lunar years. Right? That's how long they stayed in the cave. They spent 300 solar years and 309 lunar years. And again, Allah showed the Ahlul Kitab that He's able to give in such detail the answers. The question for tonight, we didn't get to that. What's the highest? Let's go to the question. We'll answer it maybe tomorrow. What is the highest level of Jannah? The Prophet, peace be upon him, says, when you make dua, ask for the highest level of Jannah. Is it Al-Adn? Is it Al-Firdaus? Is it Tasneem? Is it Al-Kawthar? All ladies' names, right? Right? There's no men's names. Well, the Jannah is only named after the women, right? Alhamdulillah. Right, so this is the question. We didn't actually get to it. You can actually take a try, and we will answer it tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.